So this is all about emergency rooms and the fact that emotions can run really high in emergency rooms. Violent outbursts can be common. And so trainee doctors are sort of, they try to give them a bit of a taste of this before they go out into the real world. And usually they do it with actors.
Yeah. And it's a serious issue. Occupational violence in hospitals is a major issue where you have porters, nurses, and sometimes doctors, but it's mostly the front line who get affected by this, who are actually physically attacked and certainly verbally abused. It's a major issue in the Australian healthcare system.
I have no pretensions of ever wanting to be a doctor, but I have sort of thought that if I was ever going to go to doctor school, this would be the part that I'd maybe be good at. I sort of like to think I could charm most people into submission. But this story that we're about to play by Shelby Traynor has really made me rethink this, because the training that she sampled combines the ancient human tradition of being a bit aggro sometimes with a very new technology in the form of ChatGPT.
Quick rundown.
Okay.
That's your right controller.
Mm-hmm.
There you hold that. And that's your left.
I'm looking at a virtual reconstruction of an emergency room. I know logically that all I'm seeing is a computer-generated room, but when the headset is on and it's all you can see, it's surprisingly convincing. I am so nervous. And emergency rooms aren't exactly the most pleasant place to be.
They're open 24/7, everybody goes there, and sometimes people get violent.
This is Martin Brown. He works at the Health and Medicine Media Lab at the University of Sydney. He's not a doctor, but he's spent plenty of time in emergency rooms observing how experienced doctors react to stressful situations.
What we noticed was that you can be standing next to someone who's been working in ED for 5 years and you'll have their attention and they'll say, just a minute. They've picked up something happening behind them. They'll go over to a patient and they've developed this, what we think of as instinct. It's not instinct, it's just experience. They've been through the process of seeing someone kick off a lot, and so they get attuned to those early signs.
But he noticed that newer doctors were apprehensive about approaching frustrated or aggressive people.
And so that person fumes and, you know, 45 minutes later someone gets hit with a chair.
This is clearly not the right approach.
Nipping it in the bud is the most effective strategy. If you can notice when somebody is starting to exhibit precursor violent behaviours, just having a conversation with them, you can quite often, not always, but quite often, get that person down off the ledge.
But this is an acquired skill, and it takes time to gain the confidence to deal with confronting situations successfully.
We wanted to give our students, in a safe classroom environment, a fairly credible facsimile of what it takes to verbally de-escalate someone. And so hopefully when they're in the workplace, they'll be a little less inhibited about going up to someone and talking to them, forming compassionate sentences, modelling good behaviour.
Let me know if that's comfortable.
Mm-hmm. This is where virtual reality comes in.
Can you see it clearly?
Yeah.
That set us on the path of developing an avatar that you could talk to, where you could rehearse your verbal de-escalation skills.
Sweet. What do you see?
I see a room.
And see a menu by
a screen, yes. Case selection.
Yep.
You're in virtual reality. It looks like a clinical environment, looks like a hospital environment, and you get a briefing. The one that comes to mind is Louis. His father's not well. He's been kept waiting in ED for 14 hours. He's got chest pains. The son is very worried about him and feels he's being neglected and starting to kick off, starting to get agitated.
I am so nervous.
You're told about that scenario, then you press play, and an avatar is there, and you can say whatever you want.
Hi, Louis, how are you going?
Because it's driven by ChatGPT, we don't know what Louis's going to say. Louis responds however Louis wants.
Don't try to talk to me nicely. Just do your damn job and get a doctor for my dad.
What we've been able to do in that environment is put rails on the ChatGPT so that if you say compassionate things to Louis, he will calm down.
I understand that, Louis. We're trying our very best. We've just got a lot of patients, a lot of cases ahead of you. Are you able to take a seat?
And you have a readout on the screen of his level of aggression, and you can get him down to zero, and the experience stops. If you don't say compassionate things, if you tell him to, for example, sit down and shut up, then he's going to get more upset, naturally.
I don't care. I'm going to find someone who actually knows what they're doing. You can't be trusted.
It can last several exchanges. It can go on for a very long time. just depending on how the conversation goes.
Louis, I do understand your frustration, but there will be a doctor by shortly. So if you just sit tight, there will be someone to come see your father.
Although Louis is not real, and although what he's saying might not be perfect, what you're saying is, and the experiencing you're having is real for you. And you have to bite your lip a bit when he's swearing at you. You have to think hard about what it's going to take to speak to this person in a way that's going to be effective. You don't want to promise that three doctors are going to turn up in the next 5 minutes. That's not realistic.
If a doctor doesn't come soon, I'm going to make some phone calls and report all of you for malpractice.
You have to actually think through what you're doing and perform on your feet in front of this avatar.
Okay, I will wait, but please make sure this doesn't happen again.
Thank you for your understanding.
Oh my God, I'm sweating. That is so stressful.
I'll take these off you.
Thank you.
What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are that I'm sweaty and I don't feel like I handled that well.
Thankfully, it's not my job. But there are aspiring health professionals who will be dealing with this stuff day in and day out. So what approach should they take? Psychiatrist Carol Barnes says they might have to go against their instincts.
Sometimes we want to avoid people when they're starting to look agitated. And I think what you need to do is be able to approach and be able to approach in a friendly, open manner. And I think sort of always coming back to the fact that you're there to help and you're there to listen.
Students might not know how they'll respond in these scenarios. And Dr. Barnes says it's better to find out in the classroom than on the job.
The more you can kind of induce a bit more of your own anxiety response, I think that's actually better for the education, the actual experience, because you can't do that ethically on the wards or in ED, but you want them to be able to manage and start to recognise their own signals of arousal and what their own response is.
She has tried out the Code Black simulation, although she took an approach that she does not recommend to students.
I actually wasn't going to try to de-escalate. I was going to see if I could actually escalate. And I managed to get it off the scale up with one sentence.
But it did demonstrate just how much power words can have. Martin Brown says this program is already being used in classrooms, most recently with a cohort of nursing students.
So we just asked them to have a go and see how they went with Louis. And then we showed them some videos of a 15-year veteran of the ED, a very experienced psychiatric nurse, working with an actor, verbally de-escalating that actor. And then we showed them another video of that ED nurse explaining what he felt he was doing in the conversation to de-escalate. And then we asked them to have another go with Louis to see if they'd acquired new skills or new insights.
Of course, to get the full experience, you'd want a VR headset. But that's not possible in every classroom.
We can also deploy this on flat screen, which then becomes a lot easier for everybody. You can talk to these avatars just on your laptop. It's slightly less compelling because you're not in a VR environment, but you are still tasked with forming compassionate sentences, pursuing the conversation, trying to enlist some confidence from the avatar, going through all those skills.
And there are other ways to practice using artificial intelligence. The Media Lab has been utilising an existing platform originally built to create non-player characters in video games. Instead, they've been creating patients.
We started off with creating one who had type 2 diabetes to resemble a case where they were not taking the medication.
This is Finn, a third-year medical science student.
They presented with an ulcer on their foot and, you know, they weren't giving away all the information. So, well, the medical student would have to interview the patient. And then at the end, if you did it correctly, you'd find out that they weren't taking their medication, and that was the issue.
Anyone can have a go chatting to these patients. It's open to the public. I spent a long time typing back and forth with the character Finn mentioned, and it takes a fair bit of skill to get to the bottom of the situation. I admittedly didn't. I assumed he'd been taking his medication and that it had stopped working for him. Reason number 2 million that I am not a doctor.
You can create a character within just a few sentences. So you could just write, you know, I'm a 53-year-old male and I have diabetes, and then boom, InWorld just creates a character based off of that. You can also tailor their emotions and personality. So you can tailor the way they give responses. It could be really overly verbal, or you could have it really concise, you know, just single-worded responses. So trying to create as many different characters as we can that resemble all these different personalities.
It's not that AI is the only way to simulate patient-doctor interactions. Actors often take part in workshops just like this to help medical students learn how to de-escalate a situation or break bad news. Martin Brown says the avatars they've created are not built to replace these actors.
It's a gold standard experience if you get the chance to do it. It's not free though. Actors need to be paid, and it's not always one-on-one. It can be that you're working with that actor in front of the class, and that can be an inhibition for people. These cohorts of students don't like to fail in front of their lecturers or their peers, and so they like the privacy of it. They like the fact that they can mess up. They like the fact that it's only an avatar in a way.
So rather than getting just a few sessions with an actor, students can work through these scenarios as many times as they like.
There's a whole range of assets that are customarily used in this space. You can read about verbal de-escalation, you can watch the videos we've made, you can talk to our avatar, you can sit with an actor, or you can be just shoved onto the ward and asked to cope. All of those are learning experiences. We just feel this technology is so easy to deploy now that it has a cost-effective, scalable place.
And in the end, the person you're offending is computer-generated. So, no hard feelings?
I don't trust any of you incompetent idiots.
Maybe not.
Thanks to Shall We Trainer for going into the belly of the beast for that story.
Getting in touch with ABC RN is easy. Join the conversation live using the ABC Listen app's call and text features.